Hi there, a very warm welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose looking ahead to one of the highlights of the racing calendar. It's Derby Day, Kazoo Derby Day indeed. So we will be giving the full attention to that great race, and then we'll also be looking at four other ITV races at Epsom on Saturday. We'll see what the lads fancy away from Epsom, and then on Sunday, 19 go to post for the French Derby, so hopefully the lads have sussed one there. And also right up Keith Street, a valuable big field handicap chase at Perth on Sunday. I'm sure he's sussed one for that, but obviously all roads lead to Epsom and the 4:30 on Saturday, the Kazoo Derby, over a mile and a half, 12 runners go to post. Hot favourite, Bolshoi Ballet, been favourite ever since dotted up last time. And if we get the best prices, we can see he's shortened now because he's the only Aidan O'Brien runner. He's down to around 5-4. These are just guide prices. The bookmakers will hopefully be falling over themselves to offer specials and decent prices on the favourites. But it's around about 5-4 Bolshoi Ballet, 6-1 Mo Harfith, 8-1 John Leaper, 8-1 Max Swinney, 9-1 Hurricane Lane, 14-3 Realm, and 22-1 Bar. We will start with David Jennings. David, you wrote in your column last week that Britain needs a Derby winner like never before. Will it get one?
I don't think so, Bruce. I don't think so. It's got a lot of really good contenders. So if Bolshoi Ballet isn't the real deal, there's plenty there to pick up the pieces. You know, John Leaper, I've been very impressed by. Mo Haffett was really impressive last time at Newmarket. Hurricane Lane is solid. And Third Realm looked pretty decent at Chester. So there is kind of contenders and candidates there that will pick up the pieces if Bolshoi Ballet isn't as good as Aidan running one in the race suggests he is. But to be honest, Bruce, I think he is. I was in Leopardstown working the day he won the Derrinson Derby trial, and I just thought, and especially that side camera angle, it kind of made you feel like you're in the grandstand, the new angles at Leopardstown. And I just thought that injection of pace off the home turn was probably something we hadn't seen from Bolshoi Ballet before. He probably doesn't have the superstar profile because he's been beaten twice. Now, he was beaten first time out in Newmarket. He was a real eye-catcher. I thought he was very green that day. And then, obviously, he was beaten at St. Cloud in the Criterium by Gear Up. But again, there are excuses that day, bottomless ground. So I think his two starts this year have made him look like a potential superstar. The price, do you know what? I don't think there's that much wrong with the price. I think he deserves to be the price he is. I thought his performance in the Derrinson was the best piece of form on offer. As Aidan, Shamie Heffernan and Ryan Moore keep saying over and over again, Bruce, he's uncomplicated and straightforward. They're the two words they keep on reiterating. And that's exactly what you need around Epsom. It's extremely boring and I hate tipping the favourite in the Derby, but I think he'll win.
And the nine box is no problem at all, is it? Because historically, wider the better, really, isn't it? Okay, we'll see if Keith agrees. First of all, before you give us your view of who will win, how good a race is this? I always say you can't tell till October how good the Derby is, but it could be quite good, this, couldn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure it could, because they can. I'm not sure they can all be good. They've all got to improve a little bit for me. I don't think, I mean, the top rated in the race is McSweeney. Other than that, you're looking at a very sort of average level of performance coming into the race. Yeah, you're right, it's October, we'll know for definite. I would be surprised if three or four could improve to the level to make it a really strong Derby. You might find there's something in here that really is an above average Derby winner, but I'm looking at the race and I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to tip Bolshoi Ballet, but DJ's point to, you know, he deserves to be that sort of price. If he's as good as everybody says he is, then yeah, he does, because there isn't that level of form behind at the moment.
Okay, and so who are you going to tip?
Well, it's really fascinating why Ballydoyle have only gone with one horse. And obviously you're not going to hear the reasons for that. Aidan O'Brien's not going to tell you that. But I think there might be three reasons. Now, one is that he's clearly their best prospect for the Derby. Two is that he's so tactically straightforward. You know, he sits on his shoulder, or he can go from the front and just quickens when the time comes. You don't need pacemakers to benefit horses like that in European races. And three, there's not one clear danger to work against, and you know, in a way that sometimes Ballydoyle would. I think they might be right with one. I think they're definitely right with number two, but I'm not certain that right with number three. I think Hurricane Lane is a definitely a big challenger in the Derby. Mahaffa's form, I cannot get over how just that Newmarket race fell apart. Yes, he won it on the bridle. But it's a guess. It's a guess, that rating. It has to be. All you're doing is going on physical impression, visual impressions, and I can't back him for the Derby at that. Hurricane Lane, one I think is a flawed bit of form, the Dancy, but I think it's easily the strongest trial by quite a way. Meg Allen, we're going to get on to. He runs in the Prix de Jockey Club on Sunday. Hurricane Lane, High Definition was third. He just got too long to get going. The Curragh is the race for him. I think it's the right race for him. I think he might actually win that. And Hurricane Lane just kept rolling in that race. He's by Frankel, whose progeny have tended to stay really well, more than he did. And his dam was, she's a listed winner at a mile 7.5, and she won twice at over 2 miles. So stamina's all through his pedigree. He just kept rolling in that Dante, and he is definitely going to improve for going up to 1.5 miles. I think this is part of the reason Bally Doyle have done what they've done as well, because if they run High Definition, they need a strong pace for him to show his best. But a strong pace brings Hurricane Lane firmly into it. Bolshoi Bally might outspeed him, but I think Hurricane Lane's a really classy sort, and 1.5 miles is going to really suit him.
Okay, and interestingly, Sky Bet, even though there's only 12 runners, are 5 places on the Derby. There's a couple of other bookies are going 4 places, and some are sticking to the standard 3. So it's even more important than usual that when you go onto your odds comparison site, you check out best each way terms as well as best prices if you want to take on the favourite. So 5 places, that's got to appeal to you, Keith, hasn't it?
Yes, I would be taking that with Hurricane Lane. You know, he might end up one or two, end up quicker than him, but I really would struggle to see him out of the 5. I think he's really good.
Okay. DJ, you've nailed your mast, your colours to the Bolshoi Ballet mast, but if you were having an each way bet based on the fact that there are 5 places on offer with one firm, who's the best of the rest?
I see Keith's point with Hurricane Lane, but I think Hurricane Lane will finish like at best second and possibly third or fourth. So I think he is a good each way player. I just don't think he's good enough. I think he's going to relish the 1.5 miles. He's going to stay. He's gritty. He knows how to, you know, get into a battle. And I think he'll run well, but I just don't think he's got that X factor that you need to win a Derby. The only horse I think potentially that can beat Bolshoi Ballet is John Leaper, because he's done 2 things that to me were quite extraordinary. I thought what he did at Newcastle, I'm a long time watching race at Newcastle on the Tapita, and I don't think I've seen a horse win as easily from so far back in any race there. I thought it was extraordinary what Holly Doyle did. I was watching the race bemused, thinking, what is she doing here? Like, the second favourite was probably 5 or 6 lengths clear of her 2 furlongs out, and she was still kind of sitting there. And I was going, either she's just kind of giving this horse an education, or she's got loads underneath her. And in the end, it was the second of those two. It was extremely impressive. And last time at Newmarket, like, William Buick made his move, like, at a most bizarre time. Like, I know he was reasonably keen in the early part of the race, but to actually strike and hit the front 3 out at Newmarket, and then to have enough ability to hold on, I thought that was a really good performance. I think he could be the one that just might be that little bit special. It's a big ask. Look, it's a big ask for John Leaper, but I think he'll run well. I think he'd be my second choice, John Leaper, and one at a much bigger price. I know that Joseph O'Brien camp think the world of Southern Lights, who everything went pear-shaped in the Derrinstown. Declan McDonough thinks he would have been second if he got a clear run. If he was second in the Derrinstown, beaten maybe 4 lengths, he'd probably be maybe 12 or 14 to 1 here rather than, you know, 25 to 1. So I think Southern Lights, if you want to back one at a bigger price, I think Southern Lights will probably get into the place. And so my 1-2-3 would be Bolshoi Ballet, John Leaper, and Southern Lights.
Okay, I want to ask Keith about Max Swinney, because I've looked at this horse's form and I've got him down as the most ground-dependent horse in training. He's run 8 times, okay? He's got 3 runs on heavy or soft and he's won them all. He's got 3 runs on good, in which he finished 9th of 10, 8th of 10, 4th of 7, and then he's got a couple of runs on yielding, 5th of 9 and 1st of 9. So it's A, you've got to work out whether or not he's going to stay, and B, you've got the ground issue. Now, as we speak, it's been raining all morning at Epsom, so that will get into ground. The worst it's going to be is good to soft, though. Keith, Are you going to deter me from a place lay of Max Swinney?
Maybe a little bit. I don't know. He is sort of should place lay rather than anything else, because I think it's moot, the fact, all the ground stuff, to a little bit, because I think the real thing with this horse is he had everything thrown at him 2 weeks ago to win the Irish Guineas. That is a hard race to come back from just 2 weeks later and win the Derby, especially considering his pedigree. It's probably a mile two pedigree. I think I said that before the Irish Guineas. You know, he's not really bred for a mile and a half. Yeah, I think he's a sort of horse that might well bomb out, but if he places, he's as likely to win as anything else, because that, let's not forget, that Irish Guineas win is the best bit of form in the field. It's better than anything Bolshoi Bally's done.
Yeah, except that Bolshoi's beaten him six lengths fair and square, isn't he? So, look, OK.
That wasn't fair and square, was it?
Pardon?
Wasn't fair and square, was it? Especially on your theory that he doesn't handle the ground.
Well, yeah, but what's the ground going to be tomorrow?
Well, Max had a nasal discharge at Leperson.
Righty-ho. OK, anyway, there you go. That is the Derby done and dusted. Four more races at Epsom next.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back. Let's take in the other four ITV races at Epsom on Saturday, and we'll start with the 2 o'clock. It's over a mile and a quarter, and it's the Whirlpool at the Tote Handicap. Rough guide to the price is 2-1 King Frankel, 9-2 Patient Dream, 6-1 Great Gadian, 13-2 Freak Out, 8-1 Chase the Dollar, 10-1 Camelot Tails, and 16 Bar. We have 9 runners, so we've got each way betting. Keith, are you confident about this one?
Yeah, I've got one I quite like, actually. I've got some fond memories of this race, not through anything that I actually won, but my last ever shift working in a bookmaker's was the day New Approach won the Derby, and the only name that appeared on every slip was the horse that won this race.
Oh, wow. What was it? What were you doing? Were you just betting shop manager?
I was cashier, and then I was like a duty manager. It was what I did when I was a student.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was. It was really good. It sort of got, it taught you a few things about it, from not just being a punter yourself, seeing that other side.
Did you ever see someone beating the living daylights out of a Fobtie?
We hadn't quite reached that stage. You know, the Fobties did take a grip in the end, didn't they? But it was still relatively early days for those at the time. Saw some, you know, irate punters at them, but you'd have seen that at any stage in history. But yeah, the sort of the unedifying stuff hadn't started then, really. But yeah, it was. It was something I always remember, that everybody fancied one in the 3-year-old handicap at Epsom, and the horse was actually Conjugate.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sorry, I should be telling you what's going to win this year, shouldn't I?
Yes, that would be good, but it was a nice little trip down memory lane there.
I think King Frankel and Great Guardian, they might be a bit slow for running down the hill at Epsom, and Patient Dream won't be. He's already won here over a mile and a half of furlong. The horses, he's gone up £7 for that, and you know, he's shown his hand a little bit more than maybe some others have. But he beat four horses, and there was a bit of a gap after the first five. And three of those four horses have won, but more importantly, they've improved by 6, 9, 10, and £9 on RPRs. So that is really strong form. Patient Dream is by Al-Kazim, and on his downside, it's quite a lot of stamina. 10 furlongs is definitely going to suit him. Epsom absolutely suits him. His only other win actually came at Lingfield, incidentally, just to put an extra little tick in that box. I think he's extremely solid.
Excellent. Patient Dream for King Rafe is Keith's selection. Who's David's?
Oh, Bruce, this is the banker of the day. I think King Frankel will win, and I wouldn't be surprised if he won easily. I thought the London Gold Cup was a hell of a race beforehand, and afterwards, I thought it was probably an even better race. Baybridge won it impressively by 4 lengths off a mark of 90. He went up a stone to a mark of 104. King Frankel was second off 82. He's only gone up 6. Now, you might think 6 is a bit mad for a horse that was beaten 4 lengths and beaten comprehensively, but he was 4.25 lengths ahead of River Alwyn, who was third. And I thought there was plenty of them in behind, like the likes of Tambarada, Dubawi Sands, Highland Rocker, who were all kind of unexposed and potentially decent handicappers and virgin on group class. And King Frankel, if Baybridge wasn't in the race, stupid comparison, I hate when people do that, but if Baybridge wasn't in the race, He would have won by 4.25 lengths. He would have won by even further than Bay Bridge did. Perfect draw on stall 3. Ground ideal. Just your typical improving Mark Johnson 3-year-old. I'd be really disappointed if this horse is beaten, Bruce. I think 2-1 is fine.
Really? Well, it's always a terrific race, the London Gold Cup. Keels always swears by it and says you just back everything that comes out of it. So there you go. We've got Patient Dream for Keith and King Frankel for David Jennings. Let's move on to the 2:35 now. Over 1.5 miles a furlong, the Princess Elizabeth Stakes, sponsored by Cazoo. Cazoo, very welcome backers of the Derby and the Oaks this year. It's a Group 3. And Marmora is 7-2 favourite, roughly speaking. 9-2 posted, 9-2 statement. 5-1 Nazuna, 7-1 Ilicardo, 8-1 Parents Prayer, 16-1 Bar. DJ, you can go first.
I'm siding with Posted here, Bruce. I think there was valid excuses for her running the Dahlia Stakes. They went no pace there, and it turned into a bit of a sprint. And she kind of she was very fizzy in the early stages, and she looked like she might just come down into the dip with a chance, and then it just didn't happen. But you know, it was her first run for 204 days, and as I said, she was quite keen, and I think she can take a big jump forward from that run. Like when she won that Lister race at Sandown last year, I thought that was a hell of a performance. She earned an RPR of 111 that day when she beat Montatam. Lavender's Blue was third, and she was just really impressive. I think Epsom should suit her running style. I think they'll go plenty quick enough here. You know, she's the joint top rated in the race along with Mamura. They're both rated 108, and I just think she's a little bit more to offer. So Post it for me.
Thanks, DJ. Keith?
There's a statement, the one I'm going to be putting up. Now, the sort of question for her is probably the trip, because she was second in the Fred Darling to Alcohol Free. She was a big price that day, and she was still a big price for the Guineas. I looked at the Guineas and thought, well, where's the lie in the Fred Darling one? I don't think there was, because she ended up getting back to the 7-1 for the Guineas, but she pulled too hard. She'll have to settle better this time, but Mamora is going to give her a lead for one, and there's other horses in this race that tend to stride on a little bit as well. So I've got a bit of faith that Statement will get that cover. The Fred Darling one is absolutely fine and gives her a real chance. She was still in front, I think, maybe even 2 furlongs out in the Guineas. She lasted a long time before the stamina gave out. I think she's got more to show us. If she settles, if she gets that lead and settles behind, I think she's got a right chance.
Thank you very much, Keith. Let's move on to the 3:10, the Diamond Stakes, also sponsored by Cazoo. Group 3, again, over 1.5 miles a furlong. And we've got some good old favourites here heading the betting at around about 100 to 30 Century Dream. You've got Maximel at 4s, Bell Rock at 6s, Prince AG at 13-2, Duke of Hazard at 8s, Marie's Diamond at 10s, Escobar, and Oh, This Is Us at 14s, and the outside is Folas. So, Keith, plenty of exposed types, but it's a wide open betting affair. How do you see this one panning out?
An angle I quite like. People often talk about course form, and there is definitely something in it, but you can extend it further. You can look at horses that have form at tracks that are similar, and you can compare Epsom in that regard, apart from the fact that one gets a bit windy up in the hills and is right-handed. The handling coming downhill, handling the camber, Goodwood gives you good practice for that. And Duke of Hazard is a Goodwood specialist. His 3 best runs of his career on RPRs have all come at Goodwood. And you could get the impression that certainly last year, he ran some of his best races of his career last year as well. So there's an element of this horse, you know, he's quite exposed. But he's maybe not had every last ounce drawn from him yet, in a way that some others would have. I mean, Century Dream, your likely favourite. His very best form is the best in the field, but it's tended to come on soft ground, and soft ground can flatter horses a lot more than other sort of conditions. So at 8-1, and as you say, open race, I just got Duke of Hazard down as Epsom's a friend he hasn't met, so to speak, and I think he's going to go well.
Are you too young for the Dukes of Hazard?
I vaguely remember it. I mean, they did a remake in about 15 years ago, didn't they?
It was a really weird program. There's loads of it down the years. There's always been loads of TV shows that I've always wondered how did that get so popular. And Dukes of Hazzard was one. It was really They had this bizarre, the most bizarre thing about it was they used to get in the cars, in and out of the cars without opening the doors. It was sort of seen as cool to kind of slide in through the window. It was mental.
Was there some sliding across the bonnet as well?
Yeah, they did that as well. It was pathetic. Yeah, I hated it. Anyway, never mind that. Duke of Hazzard is Keith's selection for the Diamond. Who's David's?
That was mine. So was mine. Now, I went about it a completely different way to Keith. I would never would have thought Goodwood was like Epsom at all. But just second run after Windup. And do you know what? I watched the Ascot race again this morning. And you kind of watch it. And sometimes you go into form and you see a horse was beaten a certain distance. In this case, 4 1/4 lengths, finished 7th of 9. The winner was 66-1 shot. Oh, this is us. And you say, look, that's just disappointing. I'm not going to bother watching it, blah, blah, blah. And like you watch it again and you go, how does this horse, like 2 furlongs out, you say, how does this horse finish 7th? It's not possible. And I just think first run, 242 days off, had a wind up. I just think there were valid excuses for that run. And you know, some of his performances last year, especially that Space Blues one in the Lennox Stakes, like he had good horses behind him that day, like the likes of Sir Dancelot, Safe Voyage, Dubai, Glorious Journey. I thought that was a really strong run. This is a poor renewal of this race, I thought. It's interesting, but you know, there's no potential superstar in there. Maximan, who knows what Maximan is going to do? I just think Dukes of Hazzard will travel into it lovely, nicely drawn in stall 3. And as Keith said, I thought 8-1 was more than fair.
Excellent. No, Goodwood, I suppose, DJ, is a mirror image of Epsom. I think that's fair to say, yeah. But in terms of downhill and Cranbrook, very similar.
He made a good point, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, because normally, DJ, when someone steals your thunder, you say, well, I fancy that for exactly the same reason, and you then go and repeat exactly what they said. But you've come at a really different angle there. So there's a lot of material there for why the lads fancy Duke of Hazzard. And I will say this, there's 9 runners in that race. Duke of Hazzard is 8-1 best price, but Skybet go 15-2, and they offer 4 places. So you may fancy an each-way punt there. The 3:45 at Epsom, the race before the Derby over 5 furlongs. The traditional sprint, Whirlpool Dash over 5 furlongs, fastest 5 furlongs in the world, so they say. Huge amount of runners, as always, fast and furious. And in terms of trivia rather than anything else, Duke of Frenzy is attempting to win this 8 years after he won it. I mean, that would just be incredible. There's never been something like that done before. He's around about 33-1. I'll spin through the market leaders. Sunday Sovereign is 8-1 favourite. Stone of Destiny 17-2. Copper Knight 9-1. Only Spoofing 10-1, along with Recon Mission, Lord Riddiford, and Ornate 12s. It's 14 Caspian Prince, Mon Damage, and Yimu, and it's 16s Bar. So a tricky one, this, DJ. First of all, before you tell us who you fancy, when you start studying a race like this, you open the race up, presumably, and you see there's like 19 runners, and you're like, 20 runners rather. What's the first thing you start doing?
I wish it came to me for a different race other than this, because I just find these sprints impossible. But the first thing I would do would be I would go to through it in market order. So just say for this race here, Sunday Sovereign is just slight favourite. So I would start it. My philosophy would be to start with the favourite, and your initial instinct is always to take on the favourite. So then as you go on, you kind of I would always kind of come back to the favourite, as in, you know, if just saying this race, Sunday Sovereign. I'm not sure about Sunday Sovereign, because I think he's had problems and he's in and out. And therefore, I'm saying to myself, right, I'm forgetting about Sunday Sovereign, but you're kind of comparing other horses' prices to him. That's just the way I do it. I'm sure everybody's different, and Keith would be completely different to me. But I would always kind of start with the favorite, especially if there's a short price favorite in the race. I would use the favorite as your gauge to first of all see the standard of the race, then see whether there's value there with the favorite, and then see whether there's value there elsewhere. So
when does the draw come into the process?
Oh, the draw would come into every horse. Yeah. You'd have to factor that in. And you know, like, just say today in the Oaks, Zaida, or how do you pronounce it, the Roger Varian filly, I think she'll win, and she's drawn in stall 1, so everybody thinks she can't win. I would be more of the opinion that if I think she'll win, that just wouldn't just completely put me off, whereas others would just say, forget about it. I know I fancy it, but forget about it. That's stall one. It's gone. Forget about it. Don't bother. But I would be more forgiven. And maybe that's why there are other people that are better than me at tipping horses.
Very few, DJ. Who do you fancy then?
This is. I was just laughing. Sir Michael Stout trained Duke of Firenze when he won this race. Imagine that. I think he's had a couple of different trainers since then. I'm gonna just about side with Recon Mission. I just think course form in this dash is key. And last time I thought, I just liked the way he hit the line last time. Dark Shot was second. He's gone up £3 for that. Drawn in stall two, like, it's hard to know. Like, stall two won it last year, stall 16 the year before, stall one the year before, stall 17 the year before, stall one. So it seems to be kind of a bit of either or, kind of be on one side or the other, but maybe not in the middle in the last couple of years. So Ornate won it from stall two last year. Recommission is in stall two this year. Loads of early pace, proper sprinter, likes the track. Recommission is one of these that'll just finish in the first five, but I'm not sure where in that first five he'll finish, but I think he'll run really well.
Jolly good. Well, they are, if you shop around, getting seven places on this. Keith, this isn't really banging your wheelhouse in terms of races you love, but presumably you've dipped your toe in.
Oh, yeah. I'd make an exception for the dash, to be perfectly honest with you. It's just a frighteningly quick race. I love watching it for that reason. It's great for that. And DJ makes a point about the draw, which was something I was going to come on to. It does seem very strange. I can totally understand. If I just watched this race and didn't look at the history of it, I'd assume high is where it would be because you'd have that rail in the end. But it seems that lows really can break and just make that beeline for the finish and get it done. It is a sort of strange draw bias. So,
well, you say that. I mean, Keith, you say it's a strange draw bias. Do you mean strange as in there isn't one? I mean, it feels like every punter's got to try and find a draw bias in every big field straight race. I mean, more often than not, I reckon it's an absolute myth and they don't exist.
It's pace biases, not draw biases. A lot of time in straight races, it's where the pace is. But in races where there's more than one on a card, you know, jockey group thing comes into it. There's a lot of things going on there. If there's a rail, that's where I think you can get biases that are permanent. And that's why I would think of it potentially in a dash, because there's always a group that ends up on the rail in the dash. So it's something I would always look for just in a race like this. But you're right, it's pace decides it more than some mythical air 10 yards from another bit of air. So yeah, you're absolutely right. But this one, I was heading towards high. What you want in this race? Yeah, course form is a valid point. It's more that this race is so unique. You just need a horse that's bloody quick. Like Ornate won it last year. Tore down. That's the thing. You need a horse that is so fast. And that's why I'm slightly put up a horse that's been running over 6 furlongs. But this horse is extremely quick. Exalted Angel is the horse that's been running. It was on the all weather. And my worry is that it might be an all weather horse, but there's not an awful lot of evidence to suggest it is. It just so happens this horse improved in the winter, won a listed race at Lingfield in February, only just got touched off by Summer Gand and was clearly the rest in the all-weather finals day at Lingfield, and has bombed a couple of times since on turf. Has better form than his level. I watch its races back, I look at its stride patterns. It strides at like 2.6 hertz, which for people that sort of know that stuff, that's like winks. That is extremely quick. This horse is a 5 furlong horse. It is a very fast horse. It's drawn on the near side. It's in stall 15 of 20. So it's got potential of getting near that rail. If it is as good on turf as the old weather, and I think that's likely, it should outrun 16 to 1 odds. So I'm backing Exalted Angel.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, gents. That was Epsom. Let's do the rest of the weekend racing next.
Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion. Live every Saturday afternoon on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
Hi there, welcome back to part three of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jings and Keith Melrose. We've done Epsom. Let's look at what else there is on Saturday. It's a packed day. We've got Tremor and Listowel in Ireland. We've got Doncaster, we've got Hexham, we've got Musselburgh, we've got Worcester. And in the evening, Chepstow and Lingfield. It's ITV all the way as far as Epsom is concerned. So let's see what else the boys fancy. DJ, what have you got for us?
Where are the two meetings in Ireland, Bruce?
Tremor and Listowel.
Oh,
you're not trying to do me on pronunciation, are you?
You said Listowel.
Oh, did I Listowel? Did I? Okay, sorry. All right, well, what do you dry yourself with when you get out of the bar?
A towel. Yeah, well, that's...
Thank you. No further questions, my lord.
Yeah.
I heard you calling it the Derby earlier as well, though.
Did he?
Yeah, he was calling it the Derby.
Yeah. What instead of the Derby?
Don't call it the English Derby. Oh, the old traditionalists go absolutely nuts there, don't they?
I even hate it when they say the Epsom Derby or the English Derby. It's just the Derby. Anyway, a couple from me. I'm going to go to Listowel. In the 115, Admiral D for Michael O'Callaghan and Lee Roach, I think, can win this. Drawn and stalled to a really eye-catching debut at Fairy House, where it was just tight for room. About two out of Fairy House. And Fairy House is a funny flat track. If you're on the rail and you don't get out, the race is just over. And while he wasn't hemmed in for long, I just thought it was a nice run. I think he'll come forward. That's Admiral D in the 115. In the 150, Irish Chief should win this. It looks between Irish Chief and Moving for Gold. Irish Chief is rated 84, and that should be more than good enough, I'd imagine, to win this. And just two others at Listowel. In the 515, the Filly's Maiden. A handful of summers ran in the Cheshire Oaks last
time. There isn't
a
515.
510, sorry, 510.
That's all right.
510. Apologies. I was making sure you were listening. A handful of summers runs in the 510, the Filly's Maiden at Listowel. And I just loved the way she travelled into the race in the Cheshire Oaks. She was wide on the outside, first time over a mile and a quarter, just didn't stay. Back over a mile now, rated 90. Fozzie Stack has a team in great form. And I just think she's better than these. That's a handful of summers in the 510. And one other one that's going to be a bigger price in the 410. It's the first division of a mile handicap. I think Dixon Line could potentially win a handicap this year. Unplaced in five starts. I actually thought it stayed on reasonably well at Roscommon last time over seven. A little bit extra here. Well drawn in stall one. I think Listowel is a track that might suit Dixon Line. This will be a price now, but I think he'll run well. That's Dixon Line in the 410 at Listowel.
Keith, it's lucky you weren't doing the postcasts when DJ first started, because your local course when you were growing up, do you remember what you used to call it, DJ?
I used to call it Musselburgh, didn't I?
Yeah. Musselburgh. Yeah. Like it was in Russia or something. Anyway, never mind that. Keith, what have you got for us?
I've actually got four away bets, which is very strange. I mean, it's not like me at all. I mean, you mentioned Perth Gold Cup on Sunday. It's the stairs I'm doing just now, and I've got one in just about every staying race that's away from the cameras here. I'll do them in time order. 120 Doncaster. It's Idilico is going up slightly in trip from his last run, but he needs a lot further than a mile six, I suspect. Whereas Cogital is coming back down in trip from 2 miles. I like that form. For all it was quite a low-grade race at Chepstow last time, and up to 65. He was beat by Celsi Sizzler, who's run very well to finish second at Catterick last week, but wasn't good enough because it was my nap, unfortunately, but just got headed. She's All Gold run well since, and was beaten 7.5 lengths. Denali won earlier in the week. It was beaten in the fourth there. I think that's really good form for not to 65. Cogital hasn't been long with the yardies with just now. I think he's possibly improving in his value to turn over Idilico there. The 305 at Doncaster is a really strong race. Set your recorders for that. It's an extremely strong handicap. 50 grand race, so obviously attracting a big field. Kondo Isami is the likeliest winner, but there's a wrong price. Alpine Stroll is 11-1 at the time of recording this. Was second to Surrey Golds. Newbury last time, it's just better than that. But Alpine Stroll was easily the second best horse in the race, only doing his best work at the finish. And horse that finished fourth at the Ocean Line won on the bridle at Nottingham on Wednesday, I think it was. It was certainly earlier this week. If you get to this and Alpine Stroll has corrected itself into about 5-1, 11-2, then do feel free to back Kondo Isami. But the 11-1 Alpine Stroll at the moment is just totally wrong. I had a look at Epsom, and in the 5:15. I like the form of Opera Gift's win at Salisbury last time, and second that day, having been set a lot to do, is Midnight's Legacy. I know she's come off the jumps and she's by Midnight Legend. I think she's actually got a little bit of a better chance in that race than 8-1 suggests, so I'll be having a little bit on her. And finally, to wrap up the 5:30 at Musselburgh, there's one that stands out at the weights for me, and it's Wise Eagle. Now, the way he tends to get ridden is out the back and stay on late. That shouldn't suit Musselburgh. I hope Ella McCain is a little bit more alive than sometimes sort of Billy Garrity was with holding him up. He ran at York last time. He just had no chance from where he was positioned. But before that, he's been so, so progressive. I think he deserves to be just about favourite for this race if Ella McKean is handy with him. So why is he going there in the 5:30?
Okay, lovely stuff. Thank you very much indeed, Keith. Let's get the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with David Jennings.
This is my easiest one for quite a while, Bruce. King Frankel, 2 o'clock apps. Get your Derby day off to a winning start.
My what day?
Derby day. Derby day at Lestow.
Go on, Keith. What you got for us?
I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is. I'm gonna go for Hurricane Lane in the Derby itself.
Excellent, lovely stuff, and that's 4:30 at Epsom. Okay, thank you, gents. Let's turn our attention to Sunday now, because there's a big race there. It's over in France at Gorgeous Chanty. It takes place at 3 o'clock. It's the French Derby, a.k.a. the Qatar Prix du Jockey Club, and a huge field go to post here, 19 runners. Do you know what, lads? I've been scouring the old internet for some odds, and I can't find any, but there are a host of really good horses in this, and it is sure to be a very interesting race.
I have seen odds on this, Bruce. It's about 9-4 St Mark's Basilica, 8-1 the other British and Irish horses as a sort of co-second favourites there, Van Gogh, Meg Allen, and what's the other one?
Darab.
That's the one, yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you. You've stepped in and saved the day there. I was floundering. Thank you very much indeed, Keith. DJ, you can go first. What do you fancy?
I don't know what's going on here, Bruce. Was I the only one that was absolutely blown away by the Rab at Newmarket last time? I just thought that was as good as it gets. I thought it was a horse who had obviously learned a lot mentally from being beaten by Slow Lantern, where he was too keen in the early stages. And second to Labarosa, first time out at Ascot last year. I just adored the run. And, you know, he's a half-brother to Frankel. And I just presumed, you know, he would be this kind of buzz horse now, and or half-brother to Enable, sorry, that he'd be this buzz horse now. And, you know, that no matter where he went, he'd be underpriced. And then, like, betting opens up in this, and he's 12-1, and I'm going, what is going on? Martin Harley was already in quarantine, so you knew he was going to run, and you're going, this makes no sense. Look, you're obviously judging it on horses or a races against inferior opposition, whereas the likes of St. Mark's Basilica has won a French Classic. But I just thought at Newmarket last time that was a wow moment for me with the Rab. I think he's going to be one of the better three-year-olds this year. I think he's got a really bright future. And you know what? The form of those first two runs, nothing wrong with them. I think the Rab, if things go well and he settles in the early stages, stall 14 is wide enough. But I think he's going to prove himself to be a really good horse this season, win, lose or draw.
Oh, I love the case you make for the Rab. I shall have to have a fiver. Keith, counter that.
Counter it with his stablemate, who's drawn even wider. I've backed the Dancy a little bit with my Derby selection. Meg Allen, though, if you watch that Dancy again, he's a son of Kingman. This is what he's going to do. He just quickens. He makes up the grounds on Hurricane Lane. And then I'm not sure. I think he just gets outsteed more than anything else. And I think it's the best Derby trial we've seen this year. He's shaped like potentially the best horse. Certainly, if we met again over a mile or two, you'd imagine he'd be just about favourite. It just looks a really impressive horse to me. Obviously, he's a half-brother to Golden Horn, isn't he? And by Kingman, I don't think these Kingmen stay all that well. A mile two is going to be a limit, even for a horse with the dam side pedigree he's got. He's just going to suit this sort of French style of racing where they have to quicken up the straight. He's got an awful lot going for him. So, yeah, Meg Allen for me. But to be honest, I love this race. I love the Van Gogh's in here. He was a horse I liked a lot from the Guineas. So Mark's Basilica, I thought, might have been, well, at the start of the season, he might be the best three-year-old. It's arguably a better race than the Derby. Don't say it too loudly so that in case the French people hear it, but I think it might be. It's a really, really smashing race.
And there's a stack of rain forecast for Paris. It's already good to soft, so that'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Okay, then. Now then, from gorgeous, chic Chanty up to the eastern part of Scotland, and equally gorgeous, and Keith would probably say more gorgeous, Perth. We're at 3:10. Is it 3:10? No, it's not. Pardon me. It's the 4:20 over 3 miles, the Bet365. Sam Moorshead, Perth Gold Cup. a handicap chase with a stack of old favourites. It should be a really good heat. I think Potterman and El Presente might have been favourites last I looked. Keith, I'm sure you've had a good old butchers at this one. What have you come up with?
Did you say that knowingly?
Knowingly what?
Butchers.
No. Right. So no, that was entirely coincident. Entirely coincidental. Sorry, mate. I take it you're tipping the butcher said, yes?
I will be, yes. I mean, I put him up. I think it was my nap of the day on Scottish National Day. Really, really fancied him for that. He's a horse that basically struggles to breathe. And it was his second run after a wind-up at Ayr that time. He got set far, far too much to do. Finished really well. What I will say is a bit of a qualifier here. He flashed up on my tracker this morning saying he'd been declared. I thought, he's in the Perth Gold Cup. Where do I sign up? I looked at the field. It's a stronger race than I thought it was going to be. I'm still going to be back in the future, said. He's still left that big impression at Perth. He still carried his head a bit high, so maybe he just needed that little bit of reassurance that it's going to be all right. You've had your win done again. Now he has. Yeah, he's the one I'll be backing.
Interesting. DJ, have you got a view on this race?
I do, sure. My old beloved Tommy Rapper is in there, Bruce. I don't think I've recovered. This horse, like, I just have been following it for so long. And last time at Aintree, I thought, right, this is it. Opens up to 10s and 12s in the morning of the race. Goes off 3-1 favourite. Travels like an absolute dream the whole way through. And then Burbank just didn't come back. I think Tommy Rapper actually traded, 5-4 and running. Looked like it was going to win. And then this Burbank just wouldn't stop under Brian Hughes. Clear second. But it was a step back in the right direction when you've been pulled up in the Midlands National and then 11th of 19 in a hurdle race at Aintree. It was a step very much in the right direction for Tommy Rapper. I still think he's well handicapped off a mark of 137. Now, he's 10 now. He want to be doing something that I think he's capable of doing. But off 137, he will certainly travel for you. If you want an in-run and play, Tommy Rapper is your man because he will trade short and running. But maybe just against this opposition, he might potentially come up short again, but I'll be giving him one last final chance.
Okay, as well as Perth and Shanty, we've got Goodwood, we've got Kilbeggan, and we've got Listowel. What do you fancy anywhere else, DJ?
that was quite a good Irish accent. At Listowel, in the 2:10, it's a 7-furlong handicap. Tall Story for Joe Murphy's stable has come alive lately, had plenty of winners. I think this Tall Story, I just loved the run last time at Roscommon. It was kind of shuffled back at the start and then, when it came into the home straight, it didn't enjoy the clearest of pastures either, but it finished quite well. It's only beaten 2¾ lengths. Now, the handicapper has put it up £3 for finishing third, which is a little bit harsh, but has only had 4 starts, and I think there's more to come from Tall Story in the 2:10. And just one other one from me, and it is in the 2:45. This is a really interesting race. It's a 2-mile handicap, and there's some jumpers in here that you'll be familiar with. But I think the one side with here is My Sister Sarah for Willie Mullins and Wayne Lorden. She's a 141 rated hurdler. Ranan was sent off favourite actually for a listed hurdle at Killarney last time. Ran against Stormy Ireland in a Grade 1 at Punchestown prior to that. On the flat, I think she's well enough handicapped off 73, and this looks a good piece of placing by Willie Mullins. So My Sister Sarah in the 2:45 at Listowel.
Well played, DJ. Anything to add, Keith, or are we all done?
Not particularly. I mean, Stormy Ireland's running on Saturday, isn't she, DJ? That was something that caught my ear.
Is it tonight?
Yeah, she's running in a maiden on the flat, which struck me as quite amusing. There is one staying race on Sunday. It's a 3:30 at Goodwood. I expect East Asia will be short, but if he's not, I think you can back him again because I looked at this race and looked at all the form. I'm not sure what a lot of the form against him is very strong. I expect it to be prohibitively short, but if you're getting north of 3-1, I think he's worth a bit of a bet.
Lovely stuff. And DJ, the road to normality hopefully takes a step forward in Ireland on Monday, doesn't it? I believe owners who've had to wait patiently on the sidelines are finally allowed back in. That's good news.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're a bit behind you. Like, I hate, like, the thought of not being at Royal Ascot again this year kind of kills me. It's
I'm going.
You can go. I can't.
I've been invited on the Tuesday, but I've got to take 3 COVID tests.
Wow.
That's mad, isn't it? Really? I've had two injections. I've had two inoculations, and I still have three COVID tests to go racing. It's mad. But anyway, I'll do it. I'm that keen.
Yeah, I do 13 if it got me there. It's we're just a bit behind here, and obviously the vaccination rollout over here is much, much slower. Like, I'm not even close at the minute to getting theirs. I think it's over, well, over 50s are getting them at the minute, and then over 40s can apply. So it might be like July or August by the time I get a vaccination. So we're just a little bit behind, but we're getting there, and you have to be positive, Bruce.
You certainly do, my friend. Okay then, chaps, thank you very much indeed for that. Maddie and the Monday crowd will be back next week to look back on the Derby and the Oaks, and of course the French Derby as well, and see what they made of that. And we're back next Saturday for another Racing Post weekend postcast. Bet safely and have a fantastic weekend.